words of wisdom.
Can you say something about what you were talking about in that class with me the other day about your style being sort of like you're putting this and this original thing together?
Cosmopolitan. Yeah, when I grew up, or when I started to grow up, I haven't finished yet. most of the music I heard was either recorded music or music in the house, my parents' house. Because they had a lot of friends. They didn't play themselves, but they had a lot of friends who did play them. Most of them were people they knew from school and stuff. Like my parents grew up in Sligo, and then moved to London, along with lots of, you know, thousands of other Irish people. So a lot of their neighbours and neighbours' relations were living in London, people from the Sligo area, and a lot of them played music, so they'd often come to the house and play music. And the recordings that my parents had were mainly of the great Sligo fiddle players, Paddy Killorn, Michael Cormann, and a few more guys. So that was the basic influence that I had. And then, of course, when we go to Ireland, for me it was a holiday, for them it was visiting their folks. I'd see Sligo music played in Sligo. But then when I got to be about 14 or 15, old enough to sneak into a bar, maybe, or travel around again, I started hearing a lot of people from different parts of Ireland, getting to know them socially and musically. I started spending time with people from Clare, people from the north of Ireland. They all have very different styles. And I borrowed bits and pieces from anyone who I like, you know. Or even who I dislike. ripped off bits of wherever I could, or wherever I had the notion, and incorporated it into my playing. And at this stage, like, I'm still ripping off bits and pieces, but don't tell the people here. Joe Herman's already infiltrating. But so at this stage, it's definitely Irish music that I play, but it's it'd be hard to describe it as a Sligo style or a Clare style. Most people do describe my playing as a Sligo style, but it's not really. I'd hate to, if someone wanted a good example of Sligo music, I wouldn't recommend that they listen to me. I'm just a sort of a mixture. It's a bit like my accent. You know, I've got a bit of an English accent and a bit of an Irish accent, and I use bits of American phrases here and there. So the music's the same. I've got the basic building blocks of what I learned from the Sligo players. After that, any noise that I liked, I try and incorporate it. And I'm still doing that.
I want you to think about what these people might do to me if you come back here next year sounding like me.
Between the two of us, we'd fight them out. Whether it's their amorous advances or aggressive advances. Back to back. I put a Reckler in here, but it doesn't seem to have done the trick. Maybe next year I'll be sounding like I'm from West Virginia. Through rock and roll in New York, upstate New York. Like, I used to listen to rock and roll music a lot too. Some of it must have stuck. I don't know. I didn't do it. I didn't borrow from it consciously. Sure, some of it stuff. Was that Did I say the right thing?
Well, the idea today is to present as many styles as possible, and Bo has offered to give us a little example of some Texas styles.
I play Texas fiddle music the way Kevin plays Sligo music, with an out-of-town accent. Michael, would you play guitar with me, perhaps? It'd be a lot easier for me. In the Texas fiddle playing, we've heard a lot of dance music this afternoon, but a lot of the big thing out there is contests. And when the guys aren't playing for dances, they're probably trying to outdo one another. And so you hear a lot of tunes that start off as two-part tunes and they come up to be five-part tunes or something. Tom and Jerry? So this is a big contest tune. A lot of the guys I listen to play it a lot. Stole a bunch of things to do. So it's called Tom and Jerry. In a contest this afternoon. We're in high cotton, fiddle player wise. That's a good player. And I'm thrilled to be hanging out with these fellas.
Is that what they say in Texas, too?
That's the other. I've never been there to play the fiddle, so I
don't know. Probably sure is in this little old country of yours.
Curious how much of that is improvising.
With me, more than I would like. I always surprise myself, because I've got an idea of what I want to do to the tune, and so I've got these chops, but I never know exactly when one of them's coming out and in what sequence. So I've got, like on that one, I had basically probably four, maybe five parts. And I've got an idea of when they're going to come, but the actual phrases within them are sometimes kind of out of left field. there's an element of chance. And if you listen to the jam session records available of some of the big, big Texas fiddle players like Benny Thomason or something, they'll try to paint themselves into a corner and see if they can weasel their way out of it. And the really exciting records, you'll have four or five fiddle players, and one of them will wear out a tune, and then another one will pick it up and try to outdo the last guy. It just gets hairier and hairier, and you find some pretty weird licks coming out of the fiddles at that point. And sometimes that happens to me, and sometimes I'm not really thrilled with it, but you just get in a little jam, you run out of bow, or you find your left hand in a little corner, and you got to find some notes to get your way out of it and back into the tune.
Is this sort of the chord progression that you've got in your head?
Oh yeah, absolutely, because you got to stay with the chords, and that's what always brings me out of it. That's the way I pull myself out of it. Usually just find something that goes with the chord that's happening and get back close enough to the melody that people won't start giggling.
So it's a lot like jazz, really.
Yeah, there's a heavy element of jazz, and all the, the swing band fiddle players, like Bob Wills fiddle players, they were all contest fiddle players in their spare time, and so they took that back to the fiddle music. They took that jazz that they were playing in the dance clubs back to the fiddle playing, and that's where a lot of that craziness came into it.
Brian? You have something for us?
Sure. I learned how to fiddle in San Diego, California, which is down by the border. And I imagine that the only native fiddling in that area is mariachi music. But I got involved in a lot of country dancing out there, and I was a dancer for 2 or 3 years, and then decided that I wanted to learn how to fiddle. So there was a lot of different styles going on. We had a country dance orchestra. We had a classical violinist, and we had a Texas swing fiddler, and we had an Irish fiddler, and we had somebody from Virginia that had moved into the area, and I don't know, we had a couple other, all types of different things. So I was hearing at any particular dance, I would hear people out in the hallway playing all these different things. So my style is sort of eclectic, I guess. I sort of picked up little bits and pieces of things. So everybody else here has played really hot examples of the kind of things that they do, and I'll just do a tune of my own, which just kind of puts bits and pieces of these different things that I've heard. And I started out as a dance fiddler, so this is a dance tune.
What do you call it?
Well, I call it Soul's Real. A friend of mine, that's his name, he had a birthday, and I wrote this tune for his birthday party.
Version of Shady Grove.
Yeah.
I learned that here actually in 1978 or something before I even knew Seaton. Just thought it was some old traditional.
Now, wasn't giant. Shady Grove an auto harp player?
It was, that's, there's a case of listening to another instrument, which fiddlers don't generally do. Everybody else has to listen to fiddlers. That's the way it should be, but once in a while, they listen to singers, just like I said before. I think the voice is king, but I listened to an auto harp player named Kilby Snow. He was playing certain chords, and it suggested a whole other way of playing to me. So it came out sounding not very much like Shady Grove to a lot of people.
Well, for all the fiddlers here this week, it's been a real treat for me, and I'm sure for you all, to get to know Lotus Dixon.
Yeah.
Myself there listening, I hope you wouldn't notice me. That's all. Well, I found, like one of the gentlemen said, there's lots of different styles of fiddling, lots of different approaches to a piece. I think when we learn by ear, we absorb what we hear, and we hear a lot of different things, and we sort of all get a little style of our own, you know, maybe just slightly. No two maybe plays exactly alike. What do you think about that? Basically the same, but I learned from old-timers way back. I heard my first pieces and very slowly absorbed some of it. And as time went on and radio came on, then began to hear what we call good fiddlers, you know, from the, WLS, Chicago Barn Band, Serenade Grove Valley, Grand Ole Opry, and a lot of good fiddlers, you know. And you gradually learn new pieces, and I read music a little bit, very sparingly, and could learn a new piece. My brother had gotten a J. Greeland hornpipe book from Sears Roebuck about the mid-20s, and he'd learn those, play them, and I'd follow him with the guitar. He'd start out slow, he'd back up, and I'd back up, and just follow him with the guitar. Well, I learned a lot of them that way, see, just hear them, and then later on as I read the music myself, I confirmed that, you see, and read them, but just play them offhand by ear and add a little, ad lib a little, you know, we don't play it just exactly the way the notes were written. But that was the way I found my music, and I thought of three here, putting a little medley. First one's in D, the Oyster River Hornpipe, which is out of that book. And the next one also, the Weller's Reel in the key of D. Then go back to D, to the Green Fields of America. You may be all familiar with the tune, but I want a second for me.
You know, I'm not sure if I do. I the first one I don't know, so I
get on with it. I'll play them through twice. Then.
Yeah. Thank you.
Out of a neighbor years ago. Actually learned it from my brother. Don't know the name, and we called it the Ed Fleming Waltz. His name was Ed Fleming. So that's what we pegged it. That's the only thing. It's in the key of C. Thank you.
feeling. Do you have anything you'd like to play the fiddle? Yeah.
No, I didn't bring my fiddle.
There's a few fiddles here. It's a very poor excuse to have.
A little example of swing, maybe?
Maybe at the dance.
How about Laura Light? Is she here? I asked Laura if she'd play bluegrass.
Oh, yes.
Well, maybe while she's coming, Michael and I have been real interested in looking at history for music. And not just songs, but actually we've come across a whole lot of instrumental pieces that say celebrate a time or a place in history. And I thought maybe we could play something that would represent something like that. It seems like an awful lot of fiddle tunes, they were made up to celebrate an event or something that took place in history. If you can go back a little bit to some of the earliest sources of the tunes, you find that the tunes have stories that go along with them, that have just come down with the tunes. So probably a prime example here in West Virginia would be the tune Camp Chase, where the famous fiddling Carpenter family had a member who ended up in a Union prison camp out in Ohio, and the captain of the camp decided to have a fiddle contest, and the winner was to win his freedom. So old Devil Sol Carpenter played this tune called Camp Chase and won his freedom. This tune appeals to me as a fiddle player.